Amen. Let's turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 8. I'm going to pick back up with my series on the Gospel of John. Chapter 8, verses 38 to 47. John chapter 8, verses 38 through 47. I'll actually read verse 37 as well. This is one of those difficult passages. This is often called a difficult passage of Scripture, one of those hard sayings of Jesus. And, you know, as I was looking at this passage and as I wrote this sermon, there's really nothing difficult about it as far as understanding. It really is quite straightforward. In fact, it's so difficult. I think we say that it's difficult and it's hard because it's so straightforward, because it's so plain, because it's so blunt even. It just tells us, like it is, the truth of God about who we are apart from God and who we are in God. And that's hard for us to hear as sinners. And so we call this, you know, a hard word of God. But this sermon was one of the really an easy sermon to write, and you're going to see, I hope, that the points, they come right out of the text, because the text just is so clear as to what it's saying. But because of our sins, this is a hard thing for us to hear. It's hard for us to accept it. But I hope that you will see in this word God's grace, that you will see God's love for you. You know, oftentimes a passage like this will be read or be preached, and someone will come up to the pastor and say, "Boy, that was really hard. I hope we get something from God's love next time, or something about God's grace next time." And you know, this is God's word, and He does us good, and He loves us enough to give us these hard things because we need them. You know, we talk about the phrase, you know, it was a bitter pill to swallow, but it might be a bitter pill, but it does you good, you know, and it's a good thing, and we need to be thankful for those things. So I hope that you see the good in this text, because in this text, very clearly, you're going to see two families. There's the children of the devil, and there's the children of God. And so that because of this passage, because it's so plain, you're going to be enabled to really be able to see in yourself how it is that you can know that you're a child of God. And that's a good thing. That's a comforting thing. That's a grace from God to give you. And so I hope from this word you'll take heart and that you will see this word as the good thing it is from God. We need plain truth. Let us pray for the grace to receive it. Let's pray. Almighty God, how we do pray, Lord, that you would cause us to have the grace to receive this word, that we would not be shocked or insulted when we hear about our sins plainly from you, but that we would see that, yes, as even a token of your love for us, that you love us enough to pull us out of that darkness no matter what it takes. Oh Lord, help us to love others that much and help us to be thankful to you and be encouraged by this word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hear now the word of the Lord. This is God's word from John chapter 8, verses, I'll read, start in verse 37. Jesus said, "I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father." They answered and said to him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father." Then they said to him, "We were not born of fornication. We have one father, even God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? It is because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell you the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. May the Lord establish this word, I pray, in our hearts. My first point is that you will be like your spiritual father. You will be like your spiritual father. I told you these points come right out of the text. Look at verse 38. Jesus said to them, I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have heard or what you have seen in your father, with your father. Now, he's not talking about their literal father because, obviously, they didn't all have the same literal earthly father. He's talking about their spiritual father. And there's really only two spiritual fathers, if I can say it that way. You know, and in this verse is going to spell it out. You're either a child of God or you're a child of the devil. There's just no in between. I know oftentimes we sort of get this idea that, you know, there are a lot of Christians out there, and then there are a lot of, you know, pagans and unbelievers, and maybe even people that are hostile to God. And then there are all these people like in the middle, you know, that are kind of seeking for God, or I don't know, you know, they're on the fence maybe. But that's never the picture of Scripture. It's just not the case. We're either saved and we're children of God, or we're not saved and we're children of the devil, and we have to be pulled out of that family and into God's. And there's no middle ground. And Jesus spells that out here for us. And according to Christ, it is the actions that prove what family you belong to. It's not the professions. Notice that. Verse 38 again. You do what you have seen with your father. That's how Jesus knew who they were. And they had a good profession already. Look at verses 30 and 31. Remember, this is an ongoing dialogue Jesus is having in Jerusalem with Jews, the people who called themselves the people of God. Verse 30, as he spoke these words, many believed in him. Verse 31, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, that's who he's talking to, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. They professed to believe. And Jesus said, here's the test. You're saying that you believe. Are you going to stay in my word? Are you going to abide in my word? Not, do you hear it once? Do you understand it with your mind? Do you comprehend the doctrine? Do you memorize it? None of that. Do you abide? Do you live in my word? Is that how you live your life? By my word? Are you going to keep my word? Are you going to walk in my word? Like we read from the Psalm, you know? The two men, one who walks in the way of God, who delights in God's law, and that's the way he lives his life. And then the ungodly who doesn't do it that way. He doesn't care about God's word. He lives his life by what he feels is right, what he thinks is right. Jesus says it here. It's not about what you say. People say all sorts of things, and the Bible says all men are liars. It's about where do you live? Will you abide in my word? You know what? What we need to do, therefore, with this word is to look at, you know, ourselves. If people would look at your life, would they say about you, well, there's somebody who cares about God's word. You know, there's somebody who lives their life by God's word. That's what they're really interested in. They worship according to God's word. You know, they do the things that they do at work because of God's word. Now, can you say that about yourself? Use this text to help to build you up in confidence that you belong to the Lord, because as Jesus said, you will be like your spiritual father. Secondly, we wonder, well, what do the children of God and the children of the devil look like? We see it here in this text. There are the children of God, and Jesus says, you know, you are of your father, the devil. Well, the first thing that we see about how they look, my second point, God's children imitate Abraham. Easy enough. Comes right out of the verse, verse 39. Second half. If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. There it is. God's children imitate Abraham. They imitate his works because they have his faith. Remember, this isn't about who's going to profess. These Jews already profess to believe in Jesus. Jesus is now trying to tell them, okay, let's look at what you profess. Let's see if it's real. Abraham's children do the works of Abraham. That's what they do. There were many who claimed to be Abraham's children. Remember when John the Baptist was preaching back in Luke chapter 3, the multitudes were coming out to him, and John the Baptist said this to them in Luke 3 verse 8, bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you, God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. It's nothing to just be a descendant of Abraham. Many people could be that. John the Baptist went on to say, even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. There will be many who will say on that day, Lord, Lord, I was a child of Abraham. I was a child of the covenant. I was baptized. I went to church. Did you bear the fruit of living faith? Because real faith is going to have real fruit. You know, Jesus taught it in Luke chapter 19, even as John the Baptist was saying, don't begin to just presume that Abraham's your father and that means something with God. By the same token, Jesus said about Zacchaeus, remember when Zacchaeus, he went to Zacchaeus' house, and the other Jews were saying, oh, look, he went to the house of a sinner. And then Zacchaeus stood up and he said this in Luke 19, verse 8, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, what? Today salvation has come to this house, listen to this, because he too is a son of Abraham. Now I know. Because of his fruit. He repented. That's what Abraham does. That's what the children of Abraham do. Zacchaeus said, if I've stolen something, I'll make it good. Four times over. That's why Jesus could say, and those Jews who were condemning Jesus for going there, well, they claimed to be children of Abraham too, but Jesus was teaching them something there. Here's a real child of Abraham. He repents. Even at his own hurt, he's going to repent. Abraham repented. He believed in God. He lived according to that faith. He worshiped God. He obeyed God. Verse 40 of our text. Again, with verse 39, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham, but now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. Well, boy, this is really easy teaching. Okay, you say you're Abraham's children, but you're trying to kill me. Abraham didn't do that. Abraham didn't try to kill God. Abraham loved God and believed in God and trusted in God so much that when it came down to either disobeying God or killing his own son, Abraham chose to kill his own son. You know, Jesus is saying, you're trying to kill me because I tell you the truth. Abraham would have rather killed his own son than turn from the truth. You're not children of Abraham. If you don't keep and abide in the Word of God, you know, there are all sorts of people who claim to be children of Abraham, claim to be Christians, and they despise the truth. And I tell you the truth, if you live for God, there are people who call themselves Christians who are going to resent you. You're going to make yourself a target. If you stand up for what's right, and if you stand against what's evil, I'm sorry, I can't do that. I'm a Christian. Well, I'm a Christian too. How dare you judge me? You're going to make yourself a target. That's what happens when you stand up for the Lord. Now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this, but that's what the children of the devil do. You know, Jesus said the same thing about Sarah. Sarah also, her children, do her works. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 6, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you have become her children if you do what is right. So women, when you imitate Sarah, then you are her children. Then you are the children of Sarah. When you respect and submit to your husbands as she did, calling Abraham Lord, then you have become her children if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear. That's what Abraham's children do. They follow him. They imitate him. And God said that's why he even called Abraham. This is one of my favorite verses of the Bible. Genesis 18:19. It says this. God was talking to himself about whether or not he should tell Abraham something, and then he says, for I have known him, I have known Abraham, in order that he may command his children and his house after him, that they may keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, so that the Lord might bring to Abraham all that he has promised him. Did you hear that? God says, I've known Abraham for one reason, that he would keep my way, that he would do righteousness and justice so that I would do what I've promised for him. Abraham was called to do what is right. His children do what is right because he's going to teach them to come in, to keep the way of the Lord, and God's going to keep his promises, and he's going to keep the seed of Abraham going. And that's what happens. God's children imitate Abraham. They profess faith, but they live in that faith. They walk in that faith. They keep God's word, and they walk in it. Thirdly, God's children love Jesus. Verse 42. Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me." Again, this is just so straightforward. Here it is. "If God were your father, you would love me." God's children love Jesus. That's what they do. In other words, Jesus and God, Jesus and the Father, are one. You can't have God and reject Jesus. You would, as Jesus says here, "If God were your father, you would love me because I proceeded forth and I came from him. And I haven't come of myself, but I've come for him." Jesus was God incarnate. To see and to hear Jesus speak was to see and to hear God. Remember when Philip says, "Lord, you know, show us the Father and it'll be enough for us." And Jesus said, "Philip, you see me. You've already seen the Father," in other words. "How can you say, show us the Father? You've seen me." They were saying, you know, "We are the children of God. We have one Father, even God." Jesus is saying, "He can't be your Father if you don't have me." There's not a person in this world today that can have God as their Father who is not a Christian, who does not claim to love Jesus Christ and believe and actually walk and live in that word. It's just not true. And the other part's true too. There, you can't have, you know, Jesus, but not like the God of the Old Testament, to use that phrase that, you know, the woman in my mother's church at her Bible study said. You know, they were talking, doing a Bible study in the Old Testament. She said, "I don't like the God of the Old Testament." And unfortunately, her pastor sort of affirmed her in that. But, you know, we can't do the other way. You can't have God and not have Jesus, and you can't have Jesus and say, "I don't like God." Because they're the same as far as everything that they teach and do and love and hate and all of the rest. "If God were your Father, you would love me." Jesus knew they were not loving him by their actions, specifically by their response to his word. Do you see that? How is it that we love Jesus? You know, the Gospel of John tells us over and over again, the Jews here were trying to say that they followed God, but they weren't going to receive God's word. We can't separate love for God from receiving God's word. Jesus said this over and over again in this Gospel. I'll give you a couple of verses. John 14, 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." God has joined his, you know, keeping his commandments to loving Jesus. You can't separate what God has joined together. John 14, 21, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." John 15, 10, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." 1 John 5, 2, "By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments." Do you hear that? This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. There are all sorts of people running around saying, "You know what? You know, the teaching of Scripture is great, and doctrine's great, it's important, but there's love too. You know, we got to add love to that," as if it was something separate. Yeah, and I want you to ask yourself this: what does love for God look like apart from the commandments? What could it possibly look like? What would it be? We show love for God by keeping his commandments. That's the way in which we show love for God. Just try to picture it. What do you mean to say, "I love God, but doctrine's over here"? You know, the Bible teaches all these things. That's great. Let's learn that. Love is over here. And so you have the Bible and love. So you have an unbiblical love that's somehow good. I mean, think about that just for a second. What does it look like? Well, in the end, you know, it's feelings. Well, it's the way I feel. It's the comfort I have. It's the if it's not based on the commandments, but then it can't be love. It's something else. Notice this, how Jesus links these things together. All of Christ and everything about him is from God. And we can't reject his word or to say that his word is different from love. Fourthly, even as we saw that God's children imitate Abraham, God's children love Jesus, the devil's children imitate the devil. Look at it in verse 39. The first part of verse 39. "They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father." You know, outwardly, the children of the devil have the same profession. To have an outward profession is no indication of anything apart from the fruit of that profession. Many times, You know, these Jews were Orthodox. They were members in good standing in their synagogues. And synagogues that proclaimed the Word of God. They also professed the one true faith of God. Look at verse 41. They went to good churches. Verse 41. They professed the true faith of God. Look at verse 41 again. They said to him, "We are not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God." Members in good standing in churches, they were professing the true faith and they weren't living in any scandalous sin. We were not born of fornication. We're not scandalous sinners. We're not like that publican over there who's a horrendous sinner. We're good, moral people who are doing what God said. Do you see that? They profess the one true faith. They do not live in gross outward sin. They're just good, moral people. But look at verse 44. Jesus said they were of the devil. Look at it. "You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." Why did Jesus say that? Because they weren't keeping his word. They didn't keep his word. That was the difference. They heard his word. They were like the man who heard the word and built their house on the sand, but they didn't hear the word and do the word. They didn't hear the word and abide in the word. They abided in, they boasted in their false profession. Like Satan, they were coming as a disguised as an angel of light. They were saying all the right things. Outwardly, they looked pretty good. But as Jesus said, what? "You are of your father the devil." The desire, how do you live your life? You live your life according to his desires, not according to mine. And what was God's desire? What is God's desire? Well, what does God command? Because what he desires is what he commands. And so you see the marriage there again of loving God and doing his commandments. Well, of course, if you love him, because you're going to do what he desires, and what he desires is what he says, what he commands. But here, you do your desires. And there's falsehood there. There's lying there. They were boasting in the outward. They were Abraham's children. God was their father, they said. Boasting in words apart from fruit, apart from actually receiving and doing God's word. Remember what the Bible said about Abraham? You know, they were boasting as if Abraham was a great thing. In Deuteronomy 26, Moses was reminding the people that this is what you should say about your forefather. "A perishing Aramean was my father. A dying Arab." Don't boast in Abraham. He was a sinner. That's not going to do you any good. Joshua 24, when they were about to go into the promised land, Joshua reminded the Israelites, "From ancient times your fathers served other gods." Don't boast of your lineage, God's people. "From ancient times you were moon worshippers," Joshua was saying. "Even as Moses had said, your father was a dying Arab." Ezekiel 16, God says this to his people, "You are from the land of the Canaanite. Your father was an Amorite, your mother was a Hittite." 18 times I counted in the Old Testament where God calls either Israel or Judah Sodom or Gomorrah. He would say, "You know, Judah, you know, you are Sodom. Israel, you are Gomorrah." 18 different times. It was nothing to just boast of who you were, of your lineage, of the fact that you could say you were an Israelite, a Jew, or as Bailey's preached today, circumcised. You know, that's not what it was about. They were boasting in the outward, but not in the inward. And I know that this word can seem hard to us because we're like, boy, you know, where is God's grace? Well, God's grace is in teaching us these things. That we would not just be satisfied with empty professions, with claiming and boasting in things that have no value, but that we would press on and seek the good that is in God, that is in Jesus Christ alone. Listen to what John says in his epistle, 1 John chapter 3. "Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil." Now John isn't saying he was perfect, is righteous. He's saying that he who lives according to God's commandments, he who lives the Christian life, he who seeks to do what God says, which means if he sins, he repents. That's what the righteous person was. He who practices righteousness, he who seeks to live and obey Jesus Christ, that's the righteous one. That's the one God accepts. Just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil. Now, of course, everybody sins, but he means he who lives in sin. He who abides in sin instead of abiding in the Word. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Listen to this, 1 John 3:9. Whoever has been born of God does not sin. Now again, he doesn't mean, okay, if you're a Christian, you sin one time, you're not a Christian anymore. He means you don't live in sin. Some of the translations say this, he who has been born of God does not go on sinning. Of course not. He who has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. In this, and here's John's summary, in this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. That's what we're looking at here. What is it? Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. And they go together, love and keeping the commandments. He who does not practice righteousness, well, that's the one who's not of God. He who does not, as Jesus says here, who does not abide in my word, who doesn't live by my word. That's what the devil's children do, Jesus says. Fifthly, the devil's children cannot hear God's word. Verse 43. This is really getting to the heart of it now. Why do you not understand my speech, Jesus says? Excuse me. Because you are not able to listen to my word. Because you are not able to listen to my word. That's that Greek word dunamis, you know, power. Because you don't have the power to listen to my word. You're not able to listen to it. Their problem, in other words, it wasn't a mental problem. It wasn't that God's word was so complicated, so difficult to understand, they couldn't fathom it. It was not an intellectual dullness, but a spiritual hardness of hearts. They didn't want it. And that's what, remember what Jesus, you know, this whole gospel is sort of spelling this out for us more and more. And Jesus taught Nicodemus that all the way back in John chapter 3, where he said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Or you can't even see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said, oh, we know you're a teacher come from God because no one could do the signs that you were doing unless God was with them. And Jesus' immediate answer is, what? He says to Nicodemus, I tell you the truth. Unless you are born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. You can't even see it. Nicodemus, you think that you know who I am, teacher of God, and that you can come to me and sort of be accepted by me based on your knowledge? Unless something's changed in your heart, you can't even see the kingdom. And then he says it again. Unless you're born again, you can't enter the kingdom, he says. They didn't have the ability. Verse 45, Jesus says this, because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Well, that's what someone who is in darkness does. They don't want to hear the truth. John 3:19, this is the judgment, that light has come into the world and men love the darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. That's the truth that while we're still dead in sin, we don't want, we will not have, we will not accept it. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest their deeds should be exposed. They didn't want to hear the truth. They wanted to hear, well, you're such a good Jew. You're so wonderful. God loves you. He accepts you because, you know, you're really doing good. That's what they wanted to hear. They didn't want to hear the truth. And Christian, we have to struggle with our own hearts that we are ready and willing to hear this truth because we need it. I know it hurts. But I hope that you're struggling with yourself today to hear and receive this truth because you need this truth. It's good for you, and it's good for us, and we can't advance anywhere unless we keep in mind that we are sinners apart from God. When I was a boy, I remember climbing on this hill. I hope I didn't tell you this story before, but I'm going to have to start keeping track of what I've told you. But we were on this hill called Godey Hill in Salt Spring, and it was a really great hill. We used to play cowboys and Indians on it and soldiers and all this stuff because it had these paths. It was really steep, and yet it had these sort of paths cut in it and all these trees on it, right in the middle of town somehow. And, you know, we boys would run up and down that hill, and you could, you know, slide down in this, like, part where there were these rocks. And me and my cousin were sliding down this hill, and I put my hand on an old board with a rusty nail, went right in my hand. Pretty good, too. You know, I actually had to pull the board off of it. And, I wasn't thinking too much of it. I mean, it didn't hurt all that much, didn't bleed all that much. But my cousin, he had gotten some sort of a rusty thing or something before, and he knew that, well, that's not something to mess with. You all know we got to tell my dad, so we went up to the house, and, his dad just happened to be my mother's first cousin, because pretty much everybody in Salzburg is kind of related. And, you know, it's just from the Cordoni side, you know, this Italian family, and everybody has nicknames. And my mom is Bougie, and his dad was Pub. And so Pub calls Booge on the phone, and he says, "Booge, you know, Buster," which was me, got a rusty nail in his hand. And, you know, they were all talking. I'm thinking, it's not even bleeding that much. What's the big deal? You know, I mean, I had gotten hurt before. I really didn't think it was that big a deal. But the way they were acting, I knew something was up. And as Pub's talking to my mom on the phone, he takes my hand, and he turns the hot water on, you know, and he gets out like the Braxo or something, really rough soap. And he's dumping it on my hand, and he's scrubbing my hand with this rough, you know, rag under this water. And I'll tell you what, it hurt like crazy, a lot more than the nail. That water was so hot. And I just, you know, I can't even get over it. I was thinking, you know, he had these big coal mining hands, you know, he's scrubbing my hand, he's talking to my mom with his voice, you know. And I held my hand out there, and I never tried to pull it back, but I couldn't stand it. And if he wouldn't have been doing it, I would have never put my hand under that hot water. And I didn't even understand what was going on, but I knew this. I knew that Pub was doing that for my good. I knew that that pain of that hot water and that burning soap and all of that, as he was scrubbing out my hand, I knew something was up, and I needed to listen, and I needed to take that pain. I think that words from God like this are like that for us. Yeah, it hurts. But it hurts because of the bad, because of the wound, because of the sin. That's what hurts, letting that go. And embracing this good word that cleans us up and we need it. Oh, woe is us if we ever say we don't want this anymore. You know, I don't know what God is doing, but allow this word to minister to you. You know, the Isaiah complained, and Jesus, certainly, he would have been accepted if he would have done this. I wasn't planning on going here. Isaiah chapter 30. And I feel this, and maybe you feel this when you're talking to people sometimes, you know, when you struggle. You know, that Jesus was talking to these people about these hard things and how they didn't want his word. And they didn't want the light. You know, he told his brothers earlier in John chapter 7, the world cannot hate you, but it hates me. Because I testify of it, that its works are evil. Just as he's saying here, because I tell you the truth, you don't believe me. You would love it if I told you a lie. If I gave you what you wanted. And the same thing was true in Isaiah chapter 30. Where Isaiah, you know, God tells him this. God tells Isaiah this. He says, this is a rebellious people, verse 9. Lying children. Children who will not hear the law of the Lord. They didn't want it. They didn't want the law. They didn't want the truth. Who say to the seers, do not see. And they say to the prophets, do not prophesy to us what is right. Don't tell us. Don't tell us that we sin. We don't want to hear that. Listen to this. Listen to this. Speak to us. Smooth things. Prophesy illusions. Lull us to sleep. Let us feel good about ourselves. Get out of the way. Turn aside from the path. Let us hear no more of the Holy One of Israel. We don't want Him. We want a God of all comfort and softness. And we want a warm puppy that makes us feel good so that we can go to hell. But have a good time until that happens. Let us hear no more about that holy God who doesn't like sin. Please, don't be so mean. I'm telling you, we cannot embrace that lie. It's not the mind of man that we appeal to. The mind of man is the enemy. Do you see that in verse 45? Because I tell you the truth, you don't believe me. Sinners will not have the truth. Your sinful nature doesn't want the truth. The mind of man is the enemy. Here's just a couple of verses. Colossians 1:21. You were formerly alienated and hostile in your mind. Ephesians 4:18. You were darkened in the understanding. Romans 8:7. The mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God. Over and over again, we hear people say, we just got to, you know, appeal to people and make them feel good. Get them to make the right decision. You can't, I don't know how you can read the verses we read today and be an Arminian. I don't know how you can do it. Do you see it? Verse 43, why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You don't have the power to hear my voice. You are of your father, the devil. Verse 45, because I tell you the truth, you do not believe in me. Verse 47, you do not hear because you are not of God. Over and over again in the Gospel of John, we've heard this. Notice it again in verse 47. He who is of God hears the words of God. Therefore, you do not hear, because you are not of God. You must be born again to believe. It's not you believe and then you're born again. You can't believe until you're born again because you won't listen to the Word. And John has told us this over and over time. And here's 10 passages. Give you a whirlwind run through them. I'm not going to give you the chapter and verse because I just want to do it real fast. But here we go. Those who believe in His name were not born of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but they were born of God. This is all from the Gospel of John up till this point. This is the things John has already said to us about this. I tell you the truth, unless one is born again, he cannot even see the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. In other words, how can you make a decision for God with a mind of flesh? John 5:21. Just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom He wishes, not to whom make the right decision and earn it. John 6:37, all that the Father gives to me will come to me. The ones the Father gives will come. And the one who comes to me I will in no wise cast out. And this is the will of Him who sent me, that of all He has given me, I lose nothing but raise it up on the last day. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I will raise him up on the last day. As it is written in the prophets, they shall all be taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not outward. These Jews heard and learned. They didn't come. That's an inward hearing. An inward learning. A regeneration. Monergistic, sovereign from God. Calvinism. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. And he was saying, for this reason I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted him from my Father. 10 passages. And that's only up till John 6. Over and over and over and over and over again, Jesus has been telling us, the Apostle John has been telling us, we need God to do something in us to hear Him. And the devil's children, as I said, cannot hear God's word because they will not. Because they haven't had that work done. Finally, what's the bottom line here, Ray? How can I know the children of God from the children of the devil? Here it is, according to the Word. The children of God and the children of the devil are known by this. God's children love and keep God's Word. The devil's children hate and do not keep God's Word. Look at verse 46. Two statements. Which of you convicts me of sin? If I tell you the truth, why do you not believe me? Why does Jesus say that? It's almost like he kind of gets out of it. Well, he's telling them they can't reject his word and be guilt-free. Because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? I've never told a lie. I've never said anything wrong. I've never sinned. I'm a true prophet. I'm giving you the word of God. You don't have the right to reject what I say because you know I have never sinned. Now, that's why he says it. And then he says the very next thing, look, and if I tell the truth, we should say it this way, since I tell the truth, because I don't sin, since I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Do you see the conviction that word brings, the judgment it brings? If you don't believe in Christ's word, well, you're condemned because he never sinned. You can't expect to please God and reject that word. Jesus didn't sin. Speaks the truth. If you don't live your life by His word, well, you're not a Christian. It doesn't matter what you say. Verse 47 again. He who is of God hears God's word, therefore you do not hear because you are not of God. This is why. You can't hear. You see, the devil wants you to separate that word of God from your profession. He wants you to separate in your mind hearing and living by God's word and being a Christian and loving Jesus. Somehow that's different. Those are separate things. Jesus says, those who hear and abide by my word are my children. That's what he says in this text. You know, the issue is submission to God's word. That's really the issue. It comes down to that. If we love Him, we'll hear His word. We'll live by His word. He tells us this is what we will do. He says He's our God. Is He our God? Will we listen to Him? Will we submit to God's Word in our workplace? Will we submit to God's Word in our morality? And what we say is right and wrong? Will we base that on God's Word? Will we base our practices on God's Word? If we're, will we do our science based on God's Word? Will we do our Christian ministry based on God's Word? Or will we say, instead of giving people the truth, let's heal the wounds of my people lightly and just always say peace, peace. But there is no peace. We've got to talk the truth. We've got to say the truth. You know, the summary, I think, of this whole children of the devil concept that Jesus is getting at here, because they don't live by God's Word, they don't receive it, they don't accept it, is what? I think it's the concept of the book of Judges, where the sentence was, everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Nobody was going around saying, we're going to do evil. Nobody was doing that. Nobody was going around saying, let's do what God doesn't like. They were just not looking at God's Word. And they were saying, well, let's do what we think is right. Let's do what we like. Let's do what we want to do. And of course it's right because we're good. And what we want to do, that's not true. That's what the devil does. That's what his children do. They reject God's Word and they do what sounds good to them. And I can prove it to you. There was a time when Jesus, and this is the scary thing, we all do this. We all act like children of the devil sometimes. This isn't just for the unbeliever. We act like children of the devil when we forget God's Word, when we act against God's Word, when we do what feels good or feels right or what we think is right, but we haven't gone there. And we just kind of go. And I can prove it to you. When Jesus one time was talking to his disciples, and he said, I'm going to go to the cross. You know, he says, I'm going to go in, I'm going to be rejected by the people, I'm going to be taken by the chief priests, and they're going to crucify the Son of Man, and after 3 days he will rise again. And Peter took him inside and said, this will never happen to you, Lord. And Jesus said what? Get behind me, Satan. There was a child of God acting like a child of the devil. So Jesus called him the devil. Get behind me, Satan. Why? Because he didn't receive and obey and embrace that hard word from God. And it was a hard word. You, the Messiah, are going to go die on the cross? If that's what he says, you don't say no, Lord. Because when we say no, Lord, to the Word of God, we are doing what the devil does. And Jesus would say to us, if he were here, get behind me, Satan. Now, if we're a real Christian, what do? We do what Peter did. We repent. We come back. We need to just realize that and embrace that there is. The fact that we sin does not keep us from this. It's no matter what we've done, no matter how badly we've done that. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6. And Paul was one of those children of the devil. He was clearly a child of the devil. He was going on killing the children of God. But God took him from that family and he made him a child of God. And then Paul lived the godly life. 1 Corinthians 6, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the immoral. Listen to these heinous sins. The immoral, the idolaters, the adulterers, the homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor robbers will inherit the kingdom of God. And here it is. And such were some of you. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. Oh, Christian, if you are walking apart from God's Word, if you're in your life, if you can recognize areas where you are not in submission to God's Word, where you are in rebellion, in something, turn back to the Lord. Confess that sin to Him. We all do those things. Turn back to Him, no matter what you've done. If you turn back to Him, He will receive you. Just as some of these Jews, certainly the Apostle Paul, we don't know, maybe he was in this crowd. He eventually returned and believed, and he became a child of God because he believed in the Word. Let's pray. Almighty God, how we thank you for your word, Lord. How we confess to you, Father, our sins. This is a hard word for us, Father, to hear that we are by nature children of the devil. But, oh Lord, if we don't believe that, we can never become your children. We can never be cured of that. We have to admit those things first and not presume and say, Abraham was our father, I'm a good person, I've done this or that. Oh, we have to know that first. Lord, let everyone in this room know that apart from you and before you saved them, they were truly children of the devil. And if there are those who don't yet know you, Lord, how I pray you'd work in their hearts, that they too would be able to say, I am a sinner, but I thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you died so that I could become a child of God if I believe in you. And give them that faith, Lord, so that they will be able to hear your word. And so that word will, they'll own it and say, yes, I'm the sinner, but yes, I trust in Jesus. Oh, Lord, how we thank you that you make us able to hear your word so that we could love and believe in you. Comfort us with that, Lord, and help us to walk according to this good word. We pray in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen. Don, the last hymn is 82? 34.